We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. It is now week 10 of the NFL season, believe it or not. I am Scott Jensted, joined as always by Andrew Laird. If you could please rate and review the podcast, that would be greatly appreciated. It does go a long way towards helping people find the podcast. Interesting slate we got at week 10. We've got a potentially quote-unquote free square running back. We've got a quarterback that's cheap that everybody's going to be interested in due to the matchup, depending on if you want to drop down that low. But before we really get into it, Andrew, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I think this is the week that if you built blindly, you would end up where you should end up. And it's going to be our own like personal biases that push us away from the obvious play.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting week, especially when we get to running back. We'll hit there. But we've got what do we have? We have 11 games on the slate. Off the slate, we had the Colts and Titans last night, which is really good for me because I'm not tempted to play Jonathan Taylor ever again. So that it helps. Taylor was especially awful last night, so there was that. He pretty much started and then never came back in again.
It was so weird because like so I wrote the game up and it's like it's very clear that they're gonna let him start and just be like, show us that you're good enough. Yep. And it seemed like he was heading in that direction, and then
Naheem Hines makes like two plays, you're like, oh, he looks really good, and then all of a sudden, so yeah. We've got Ravens, Patriots, and Vikings, Bears Sunday night and Monday night, both really low scoring games, at least with the Vegas total 43 and 44. So not big fantasy games we're missing there. The part we miss fantasy wise is actually in the bye weeks. We got the Falcons with their lack of defense, we got the Cowboys with their lack of defense. We have the Chiefs with their insanely good offense. There's like three teams that like we either target them or target teams against them, and then we have your Jets also on bye, which is probably makes a good Sunday in the Laird household, I imagine.
Can't lose.
It's beautiful. High totals. We got three games just over 50. We got Jaguars, Packers, Buccaneers, Panthers, Broncos, Raiders, and then we've got two crazy high games. We'll call them some carnival games this week. We got two games people are going to really be targeting. We got the Bills at the Cardinals, 56 there, and then Seahawks, Rams, 55.5. Seattle games are averaging 64.9 points per game on the year. It's insane. Like, we had the game last week. Like, I don't know. You know, Bills, Seahawks going to be the big A-B targets and end up 41-27 or where it was. I mean, the Seahawks defense delivers all the time unless they're playing Jimmy Garoppolo, and then they shut it down.
He was hurt.
He was hurt. But, yeah, Nick Mullins, I guess, came back in the game. But, yeah, Seattle defense is really, really, really rough right now. Josh Allen sliced through them. And, like, midway through the first quarter, I was like, why didn't I just play Josh Allen every lineup? Like, this was so obvious in my face. But quarterbacks, it's again this week. We've got a lot of good options and a cheap option. Low totals. We've got pretty much the NFC East is what it comes down to here. We've got Eagles, Giants, 44.5. We have the Washington football team. I did not mess it up like I did last week. At the Lions, 45.5. So some games that with all the high totals, you know, maybe staying away from those games aside from maybe a play or two here and there. But it's an interesting overall slate. Usually we have maybe that one big, 55-point game. Having two this week certainly makes it interesting.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like they're – like if you can convince yourself that those games actually might have a lot of fantasy points in them, just not touchdowns, then – like, because there are guys in those games that we have played multiple times this season, and they're fairly cheap because there are not many points expected to be scored. But again, from like a floor perspective, that's generally how I look for cash games. Like, I think there are a decent number of cash game plays in those low total games. It's just you have to, you know, weigh those against the ones that are just so high. Obviously, right. You're gonna have to pay a little bit. But like, do I take the top wide receiver from a game with a 44-point total, or do I take the third wide receiver from a game with a 54-point total? So, and I mean, just decisions you got to make.
Third wide receiver, 55-point total. That sounds pretty interesting already. I'm all in that. I like the cheap receivers there.
There's one that jumps out. It's just a matter of whether, and we'll get there. But I think there's one that I think a lot of people will go to.
Yeah, interesting. I think three under 4,000 I found interesting. So we will get there. But let's start with running backs. And we kind of have to start. I'm going to change up a little bit. I told you before we start. I'm going to start at the bottom real quick. Mike Davis is $4,000 on DraftKings. Min price for a running back. Christian McCaffrey's not going to play. I'm not sure why they jumped Davis quite so far down this quickly. You know, obviously McCaffrey came back last week, was fully healthy and had a really big game and looked really good, but hurt himself on the last drive, shoulder injury. Mike Davis was really good right away when we took him from McCaffrey, a little bit less so the last three games. He had 55, 37, and 77 yards in the three most recent games. Curtis Samuel kind of taking over a little bit with a few of those rushing plays, some of the shorter passes. So Davis was not quite as effective as last three games, but at 4,000, he's facing Tampa Bay. They're the best run D in the NFL, 2.7 yards per carry against the run. But with Davis, obviously, you're hoping to get a bunch of targets in a DK kind of PPR setting. Not the best setup for Davis. At the percentage, at $4,000, does any of that even matter, or are you just going to play him no matter what?
I mean, it's Friday morning, so things always can change. But, like, you just don't often get someone that cheap with the expected role. And obviously the matchup's about as bad as it gets. He does make up for it in the passing game, like you said, so that certainly helps. It's just odd. It just felt like there were more guys priced, like min priced at 4,000 this week than ever. But there are very few backups that are priced near their starting counterpart. Not that they always should be, but this one just feels like a mistake. And so at 4,000 for a guy who could get 15 touches kind of conservatively, right?
Like, yeah, right.
I think he's just going to be one of the most popular players on the slate, certainly in cash games, because a $4,000 starting running back really opens things up.
I think he's like 80% in cash games.
I mean,
I think he's like massive, like cash games. People will start that and then play the other eight guys. I just think it's going to be so huge. And people, the second McCaffrey got hurt, everybody looked like, oh my God, Mike Davis is 4,000. I think he's just in everybody's lineup and just kind of move from there.
Yeah, it just, the odd thing about it is that for GPPs, I don't think you actually fade him because he'll be popular. I think you fade him because I just don't think the points are there. Like it's one of those weird things that like taking a $4,000 running back for in a GPP setting where you're looking for upside, like you should spend the $4,000 on a wide receiver who can make a big play, on one big play and like literally outscore Davis's entire game. So it's going to be one of those players who should be at least hugely different between cash games and GPPs just because. Where, you know, just fundamentally how you play those games. You go for floor for the cash games, and like he should have a floor based on the touches. Right. But his ceiling is really limited, and like you against that defense. And so, like, why would you go in that direction for GPPs?
Yeah, I mean, I think you go in that direction because you play him as your second running back and maybe take a fourth wide receiver right. in the flex. You could do it that way. But I think he'd be massively popular in GPPs, too. I think that I think you're looking at like a 60% kind of guy in some of the bigger GPPs. I think he's going to be way, way up there. So, but let's jump back up to the top. I just thought it was worth talking about Davis because he's so obvious in everybody's face all week. So I wanted to, you know, and obviously how you build your lineup depends a lot on whether you have that $4,000 slot there. But let's jump back up to the top. We got running backs. We got a couple at the top here. Nobody's super, super high, but Alvin Kamara's 8,200 home against the 49ers. Aaron Jones home against Jacksonville, 7,100. Those appear to be the kind of the top two guys that are on the slate this week. Obviously, there's a price difference of $1,100. How are you feeling about these two guys coming into week 10?
Before I quickly go to that, I wanted to note, because somebody noted it in our Discord, Mike Davis is 6,700 on the Thursday through Monday slate.
Wow. Which so they must put those pricing out.
Later. That came out after the McCaffrey news. Yeah. So it's like, right. That just shows you like just how, where he probably would have been priced had
exactly.
it come in. Yeah. But anyway, I think Kamara and Jones are where everyone's going to go. The only thing that holds Jones back is how much of the Packers you want to play. Because if you want to play Aaron Rodgers or Devontae Adams, like right. also playing Jones, means they really have to destroy Jacksonville. They're supposed to, so I don't think it's necessarily right. like something that you have to avoid, but I think that's like what will make some people go, at least in cash games, go to Kamara, because if you're going to play Rodgers or you're going to play Adams, it's, you know, the floors are probably there to get all three of them if you really want. It's just expensive. But if you want to diversify a little bit, then Kamara is kind of the easy pivot away from Jones. I guess it's not that easy. He's $1,100 more, but then you're not so locked into the Packers in case they throw up one of those games like they did against the Bucks, who are, of course, better than Jacksonville. But, you know, you never just the variance. You never know when that bad game comes. And if it comes when you have three of them in your lineup, you're pretty much dead.
Yeah, Kamara's interesting because he's a little bit different than most running backs. Like most running backs, you're like, if they have a 10-point lead, you know, midway through the third quarter, I love that because they just feed him the ball. He's more of a, you know, they back off him a little bit. They have a big lead. They tend to not, you know, rush him a ton of times, and you want the targets. I mean, the targets last week or last 4 weeks are 10, 9, 13, and 6. And if they're up, you know, 14 on the Niners, which is very possible, the Niners are beyond beat up, lost two more defensive starters this week. You wonder in a fourth quarter if it's a lot of Latavius Murray. So I think Kamara can get whatever he wants in this game. It's just a matter of how big the workload is based on the game script.
Does obviously the six targets last week came because Michael Thomas is back.
Yep.
He's questionable again after just some limited practices. Does Thomas being active affect your opinion of Kamara at all? I mean, obviously, let me rephrase that. How far from great does Kamara drop because of Thomas? It's not like he becomes a bad play, but if Thomas plays, what's the difference for you?
I'd say a little bit, though. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're like, we need 3 yards in this play, you know, if Thomas is not in there, like, let's build something for Kamara. If not, you just go to Thomas real quick. And
right.
I think it matters a little bit. I mean, Thomas eats a lot of targets where if he's not there, you've got a lot of guys, they kind of spread it around and Kamara's the main guy. So I think a little bit. I think it's just really how the game works out. If the Niners are able to score a little bit and keep this a little bit back and forth, I think Kamara is going to be really, really good. I mean, there's no way the Niners can stop him right now. They're just too banged up on defense. But with Jones, 20 touches off his first game of injury. There was a little bit of talk of a pitch count in that game against the Niners. There was not really. He had 20 touches, and they were using him late in the game when they were up to. So clearly he was fully healthy in that game. First game without a touchdown, so there was a little bit there. But he's only topped 100 rushing yards once, which is kind of surprising in that one really big game. But he scores a lot. He touches a lot. It's a game they should be leading, and he should get some carries in the second half, you know, as opposed to Kamara. I think that if they're up in this game, they'll feed Jones pretty well. Jacksonville has allowed some big rushing games, 116 yards and 2 touchdowns, DeAndre Swift. Joe Mixon had 151 yards a few weeks ago, too. So I think I like Jones a little bit more when you take in the $1,100 price difference.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely do a lot with it. It's funny, during the Titans game last night, they were showing how they were trying to make this case that Derrick Henry is like not that consistent. So they were showing like his rushing totals for each week, little line graph, and it was like the 212 obviously just like burst off the page.
Right.
But they were like, but he still gets 20 carries a game, so like he's still making it to 65 to 80 yards. And I'm like, if you really want to show this one, like you need to show Aaron Jones, because like he's the one who's like as up and down as they come, which is like my only slight hesitation. But I mean, most likely getting 20 touches in this offense, like in a game they should dominate in, like he makes total sense.
It does. I think that Jamal Williams is back this week. He's off the COVID list. I'm looking at it. They just activated him earlier this week. So that matters a little bit. He didn't play against the Niners, and it was pretty much Aaron Jones. They had like Tyler Irvin and Dexter Williams, the guys down there. So I think that matters a little bit in terms of the pure touches. But I think, you know, also another, what is that, 11 days for Jones to get healthy helps a lot too. So I like Jones a lot in this game, and mostly – a lot comes down to the fact I'm having trouble finding guys in kind of the mid six ranges that I like. We've got we have Josh Jacobs, James Robinson, James Conner, Miles Sanders in here, Kareem Hunt. Although Nick Chubb had like a full day of individual drills, but I'm not fully sure he's going to play or not. So that matters a lot because Hunt's matchup is really good if Chubb doesn't play. Where are you going in this range here? Is any of those names I mentioned that really jump off to you that you really like this week?
Not really. I try to like convince myself on all of them. Like Jacobs, I always like because you know he's getting so many touches. Or usually Sanders. I mean that game, the Eagles. So that game is one where like that's packed with guys that we've played like throughout this season, including Sanders, who just always seems to be like slightly underpriced. But
right.
I think like obviously when we have Davis, and you have the ability to get like Kamara and Jones. For cash games, usually you play three. So, but in GPPs, if you're only playing two, and there's a cheaper guy that I think probably makes more sense than any of these guys at least. I think from a GPP standpoint, I think you're going to find these guys not nearly on as many rosters as like they presumably should be. You're probably not playing like Robinson against the Packers just because they're going to be so far ahead. And Kareem Hunt is like basically on the do not play list. So there's that.
If Chubb were to be inactive, do you take Hunt off the no playlist? Considering they're playing Houston and Houston's allowing 5.4 yards per carry last in the NFL. Do you take him off if Chubb is inactive fully?
I definitely I think he's off my do not playlist in cash games. Like I just
okay.
I think you're
he's on your do not playlist.
He's on it right now.
Okay.
After the last few weeks, he is on it. I want to believe that James Conner makes sense, but there's just like nothing.
I'm scarred from last week in that game.
Yeah. So like the way that you feel about James Conner is how I feel about Kareem Hunt.
Fair.
And it's just like what the difference between Hunt and Sanders, I just don't think is big enough where I'm like, yeah, I have to play Hunt. We haven't talked about Chase Edmonds, although I think part of that is that Drake, like, that game was so weird last week. Like, he had, like, 100 touches, and yet...
He had 25 carries in that
game.
Like, if you told me Chase Edmonds had 25 carries in that game, I would have played him in every lineup at every moment. I would have thought he had, like, 160 yards. Like,
right.
The fact that he had 70 yards, he came in averaging 6.1 yards per carry. And I don't know if it's, you know, the way he was used in weird third downs before and all that, but you're going to give me 25 carries sitting next to Kyler Murray. I'm going to take that every time. Murray hit all the big plays. Murray had a great, obviously huge game, but great rushing game too. He had over 100 yards rushing. I don't know. If Kenyon Drake doesn't play, I think I'm going back to Chase Edmonds with 6,300. With the usage, I think he's going to have to bust some big chunk plays. I need Drake to be inactive, I think.
Yeah. There's no way I play Edmonds if Drake is active. But it's just weird to see we see Hunt and Chubb right next to each other price-wise. We see Sanders at 6,400 and Boston Scott at 6,000, which just makes this Mike Davis price continue to seem like so outrageous.
And Mike Davis has done so much more than Boston Scott has the last six months too.
Like, yeah. Like
it just seems really weird. It's all of a sudden McCaffrey's back for one game and they dropped him to 4,000. It's wild.
Yeah. I don't get it. But that's why everyone's going to play him. But, you just have to keep scrolling. Like I think the guy that a lot of people will go to for another cheap one is Duke Johnson.
Yeah.
It's not a great matchup, but it's fine. And I think the general belief is that Duke Johnson is better than David Johnson. And so if you're going to get both of their production from one guy for $500 less than David, why not just play him?
Yeah. Before we jump fully into Duke, you mentioned James Conner. Like, that game against the Cowboys was, I mean, we obviously didn't expect them to get down 13-0, whatever it was. And then the weird thing is, like, that's two games in a row where Connor has not played many snaps.
Yeah.
He played 31 and 32 snaps the last 2 weeks. He played 66 snaps in week 7. So, like, they're moving to other guys a little bit. And that right there is a little too weird for me to trust him. He's not cheap. He's 6,900. Yeah. Good matchup, though. I mean, Cincinnati's allowing 5.4 yards per carry to running backs. They're a favorite. They should win this game. You know, you'd assume fairly easily, although they looked terrible last week. But he had 11 touches for 20 yards last week against the Cowboys, played less than half the snaps. I think there's a little bit too much weirdness in back. If it had been 1 week, I'd probably get over it. But back-to-back weeks of low 30 snaps, I don't think I can trust Connor this week at all, despite the matchup.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Any concern with James Robinson that the first game with Jake Luton, he only had two targets and no catches? Like, James Robinson has to get the dump downs to work, especially in a game where they're trailing. That worries me a little bit that maybe Luton's not the same with the dump downs that Gardner Minshew was.
Yeah.
Only one game, but still.
Right. He also had 25 carries, although
He was really good. That's back-to-back weeks of you know, over almost 100 yards and a touchdown, 26 to 25 touches. But I just worry a little bit in this game, if they do get down quick, that maybe we look at a situation where they're throwing a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the possibility that he gets 20 carries again because this game is close is much lower than it was the last 2 weeks. So
sure.
I mean, he's good, but like, from a cash game perspective, there are just so many other guys I think you're better off playing.
Yeah, I think I go with you. I think in this group, if I play one, it's probably going to be Miles Sanders. Full practice on Thursday. He appears ready to return. The Giants have been pretty good against running backs, though. Under 4 yards of carry, only run rushing, one guy over 100 yards since the very beginning of the season. That was Benny Snell. He's
of
played
course
five
it was Benny
games.
Snell.
Of course it was Benny Snell. I just go back to that stat. I just like to talk about Benny Snell. Sanders has played 5 games this year where he was like actually played the whole game. He has over 80 rushing yards in 4 of those. Granted, one of those was against Baltimore. He had like 8 carries, but an 80-yard rush touchdown. But I mean, that's why you play Miles Sanders, is that big chunk playability. The fact that I think this week, you know, he gets volume plus the chance he can always break a big one. I guess it's probably a question of how much they ride him, you know, coming off, you know, finally being healthy again. But I think in this range, Sanders is probably my favorite guy, both from a floor and a ceiling perspective, actually.
Yeah, I'm in there. Like, I like him more than Edmonds, even if Drake doesn't play. Like, maybe I just give the Buffalo defense a little more credit than it deserves. But but I think both of them are fine. And like, I don't think Josh Jacobs is a bad play. I just think that's one where you just need a lot of volume. Like, he's not doing a lot in limited touches. So
it's just so damn boring, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he had 128 yards 2 weeks ago in Cleveland, but that was the weird win game. And they gave him 31 carries
right.
Last week against the Chargers. I almost said the Clippers again. He was against the Chargers, 14 for 65. Like, he's been fine. He just has not been anywhere near the guy we thought we were getting with that big game week one. And since then he's had 1-2 touchdown game, but I don't know, just kind of, you're just lacking the upside I'm looking for. And Denver's been pretty good against the run, especially except for 2 weeks ago against the Chargers. They kind of beat them up, but I don't know. I'd go Sanders over Jacobs if I had to do it in the range.
Yeah, no, I agree there. What do you do with Gio Bernard?
Yeah, Joe Mixon missed practice again on Thursday. I don't think he's going to play. Kind
doesn't
of surprising.
Sound, doesn't sound off, promising.
It doesn't. Surprising off the bye week. I thought he'd be fully back this week. You know, Bernard's been really active. 3 touchdowns in 2 games without Mixon since he started. The Pittsburgh D is obviously good, but you look a little closer. The last 2 weeks against the run, Dallas did really well against the run last week against them, and Baltimore thrashed them 2 weeks ago. So maybe they're leaking oil a little bit. I don't know. Gio's a tough call for me always. Like, I just don't think he's great. But if you're going to get the volume and you get some dump downs, especially if they're trailing in that game, at 5,400, if Mixon doesn't play, I could see that working too.
Yeah. I mean, anybody down in this range, you're ultimately just looking at, would I rather play Duke Johnson?
Right. And Duke last week played 52 snaps after David Johnson got hurt. 16 for 41 is obviously really, really ugly. That's just like 2.5 yards of carry. But at 4 catches, 32 yards receiving, it certainly sounds like David Johnson's not going to play. I don't think he's going to pass the concussion stuff by this week. Jacobs was good against them a couple weeks ago. We mentioned that, but a lot of volume. Probably not a lot of upside with Duke, but you got to think the floor with, you know, say 18 touches is pretty good at 5,000.
Yeah, the only fear that you have to have with Duke is that they don't end up giving him the touches. Like,
right.
When they first got him, everybody got all fired up because they were like, oh, finally, he's going to be like let loose and he's really good. And maybe he's just one of these guys who's really good with a few touches here and there and not any sort of workhorse. And so I think there's a little Kareem Hunt fear here. ironically, since I was his old team anyway.
and they're playing them this week.
And they're playing, right. So, I think there's more hesitation in Duke Johnson than there is Mike Davis from a workload perspective. Obviously, Johnson has the better matchup, but it's also not like a perfect matchup. So
right.
I think he's probably the riskiest of the group, but at least, you know, he's 5,000 on DraftKings, so it's a little easier.
So in this range, we have a Washington football team running back that was a wide receiver in college, got converted to running back in Antonio Gibson. So you're like, you know, that seems like a perfect guy to, you know, use in the right spot, getting there on third downs, catch a bunch of passes. Antonio Gibson has one touch this season on third down. That is the most impossible. We're halfway through the season. We're through 8 or 9 games. How does a guy with that skill set have one touch on third down the entire year? That is just a coaching negligence right there. I could not believe that stat. I went back and looked, and it's actually right. It seems insane to me that they don't use him all the time on third down.
Right. Like he should be the third down guy. Like it's
he should be in there all the. I mean, third and six. It's like he should be out of the backfield. Boom. Like one touch on third down is criminal. That's brutal.
Yeah, I wonder if it was even a mistake too, and they actually thought it was second down, and they were just like, "Oh yeah, stay out there." Don't.
There you go. He scored last week, but 9 touches and 25 snaps just makes him tough to play for me.
I was actually thinking you were going to bring up J.D. McKissic, like 14 targets last week.
It's funny. I last week I was stuck in NFFC season long. I had no running backs. Like everybody was either hurt or on bye. And I'm like, I'm just dead this week. And I'm like, I got to play J.D. McKissic. And he was the third best running back on an entire league last week in PPR points. Like,
yeah.
Crazy. I don't think it's hard for me to trust him. He's not super, super cheap. It's hard for me to trust him. You, the fact that you have to get that exact right situation, and I don't know if they'll be trailing Detroit, you know, maybe, but he's super involved on third down, get a ton of targets. I don't think I can do it, but I certainly wouldn't argue hard against someone who wanted to get that in a full PPR, but not for me, I don't think.
Yeah, it's just, right, there's just too many question marks.
Yeah, it is. Last guy I wanted to mention on running backs before we move on to the passing game, DeAndre Swift, 5,100 on DraftKings. Only 30 snaps last week, did get 13 carries, 64 yards. Washington's only given up 100-yard rusher all year. It feels a little bit to me like, you know, playing that, like, DeAndre Swift is talented. He's going to have a big game eventually. And he had that one game. He had a couple touchdowns earlier. I think I'm going to try and not get sucked into this play, though.
Because you don't think Adrian Peterson's going to be fired up against his old team? And
boy, am I tired of every time I flip in the game. Oh, it's Adrian Peterson, has said DeAndre Swift. Oh, there's Kerryon Johnson for a yard and a half. Like, just coaches, there's my coaching rant for the day, but coaches just drive me. I mean, DeAndre Swift, like, when he touches the ball, like, they got a chance to make a big play. It just doesn't happen enough. I think he's so talented, but 30 snaps, I don't think I can go there either.
I think the easiest way to ensure he has a great game is to play Stafford in cash.
We had that before where we played Stafford and Detroit had 19 rushing touchdowns. Wherever it was.
Yeah.
They all had one. I think all three.
Everybody did, yeah. Right, so. What do you do with the Rams? Do you just avoid them?
Yeah, I mean, Darrell Henderson is – I think it's Darrell Henderson – is a little bit banged up. Sounds like he's going to play. But, I mean, I think that with them and Seattle, I mean, that game is a lot of points. Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde didn't practice yesterday. So if you wanted to, like, go with DJ Dallas, he scored last week. But Travis Homer had the big play. I just think both those teams are hard to figure right now. And I think that with Davis and Duke Johnson and Gio Bernard available, I don't think I need to go there. If you hit it right, you know, it's a game that's a lot of points. I honestly don't know how to hit it right, especially with the Rams.
And the Chargers are probably the same, right?
Yeah, I mean, Justin Jackson's probably not going to play. And then, I mean, they used Kalen Ballage last week instead of Joshua Kelly for heavy work. And then Tremaine Pope is there. I mean, I think if you want to play one of them, you're just hoping and guessing that you hit the right one. I don't think there's any way to really kind of analyze it and break it down and find the right one. I think you're hoping to get lucky if you play one of them. And, I mean, it certainly could happen. You may see a winning GP lineup that has, you know, Kalen Ballage or Joshua Kelly for a big game, but I'm not guessing there.
Yeah, the weird thing with Ballage is, like, he led the backfield last week and then went right back to the practice squad on Monday.
It's crazy. Like, it's weird how you get games like that where, you know, Justin Jackson got hurt. And I think he was going to have a pretty big game and play that Ballage role. And instead of just moving Kelly there, they're like, well, keep Kelly where he is. Just make Kalen Ballage, Justin Jackson, and it worked. I mean, and the Chargers found a way to lose another game right at the end, which is truly amazing. But
so we've got Duke Johnson, Adrian Peterson, and Kalen Ballage on revenge games.
the Kalen Ballage revenge game. I think we'd be going with that at some point this season. But DraftKings
still has him in his Dolphins shirt too.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's crazy to me that all these guys are more expensive than Mike Davis still, though. it's weird. It's just, it's strange that they just dropped him to min price that fast. But
yeah, what's funny is that I feel like we're all collectively agreeing that 4,000 is a great price for like 8 fantasy points.
I see. I'll take the over on that really quick.
Oh, okay.
I just think the targets in itself in a PPR. Unless they change it up and they don't use the running back guy in the backfield, and they do use Curtis Samuel in the way they kind of did it the last couple games with Davis, but I just think the chance of like 6 catches is there. And if you're going to get that, like it's just at 4,000, it's just so hard to get away from. I get that, especially in a GPP, you know, if he does have 8 points, like you said, like that, you get a guy with 8 points in a spot that 65% of teams have, like that's a win right there and you're looking great. But I mean, I think the ceiling's there a little bit because the catches, then that makes him tough to fade.
Do you think Davis outscores all of the 5,000 running backs like Duke Johnson, Gio Bernard, Gibson? We didn't even talk about the Chargers guys, but they split so much. I don't know if it's even worth talking about. Swift, like, he probably does, right?
I mean, I take Davis pretty easily.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably a guy in there that's going to outscore him, but like picking which one it is,
right,
is going to be really hard. Whereas you know Davis is going to get a certain amount of workload. And I think Mike Davis is actually pretty decent, which helps a little bit too. I think that when you see him, you're like, oh, you know, he actually looks pretty good. Whereas you watch Duke Johnson, Gio Bernard, maybe you don't get quite that feeling. You're saving $1,000 or more on all these guys to Davis too, which matters.
Do you touch the other side of that game with either Uncle Lenny or Rojo?
It's a weird situation too. Like it's just so game script dependent. If they're behind, it's all Fournette, which I never thought we'd hear like Leonard Fournette passing.
He looked like McCaffrey.
He did, but and then I looked up. I'm like, oh, Leonard Fournette hasn't even played this game. I looked up again. He had 6 targets. I was like, where did that come from? He had 6 catches. Like. And then Rojo, like if they're ahead, it's going to be a lot of Rojo. So, I mean, it's just hard to figure out. I mean, if you want to try and take a stance and be like, you know, this Tampa Bay is going to really bounce back and make this game and play Rojo. But, man, off those snaps and usage from last week, I find it hard to use either one, actually.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's jump into the pass game. But first, a note from our sponsor, PropSwap. Smart sports bettors always know where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap. You can always find the best odds on PropSwap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. And for a limited time, our listeners can get up to $500 in bonus cash and use the PropSwap promo ROTO500. That's promo code ROTO500, and PropSwap will match your first deposit up to $500. PropSwap sellers are always willing to negotiate, and we know all bookies never will. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. So, Andrew, at quarterback, I'm kind of going to do a little bit of the same thing. There's like five or six guys at the top that I think are very playable, and I do want to talk about them. But I want to drop down to 6,500. I think a lot of what you do depends on if you want to play Jared Goff against this Seattle defense. If you're going to save, you know, 1,500 from Kyler, 1,400 from Rodgers, 1,200 from Russell Wilson, Jared Goff looked really good early in the season. He has not looked good lately. The last 3 games, he has under 6 YPA. His only top 2 touchdowns once all year. That was week 2. But Seattle has allowed an insane amount of passing yards. I'm not going to go over each one, but they've allowed 5 quarterbacks over 360 passing yards on the season. It's insane how bad it is. It's crazy. But the question, I think you start your lineup at the start, is are you going to play Jared Goff this week? How do you feel about Goff going against this defense?
I started my build with Goff.
Yep.
I went right to it because it's like, the only time it hasn't worked, I think, is Jimmy G, which again, injury. That wasn't a bad play. It was just injury.
Yeah.
And so the availability that you get by playing Davis, the salary space, plus if you play another one of those 5, that, you know, if you play Johnson or any of those guys we talked about, now, like, the salary, not that it doesn't matter, but it's not as, like, you almost don't even need the salary anymore. And I think there are a ton of wide receivers you can play this week, like, all over the price scale. Yep. So, like...
I do, too.
So, the whole, like... So, 1,500 to Murray is... That's, like, a decent amount. But, like, I think this is almost a week you could pretty much play anyone, thanks to Davis. Particularly if you're somebody who's perfectly content paying down at defense. I don't think Goff is going to be like as popular as we've seen prior quarterbacks playing the Seahawks. I think also part of that is that like we've seen some cheap ones too. Like we had Fitzpatrick was really cheap against them. Jimmy G was really cheap. That's why everybody played him. I'm trying to see here. I don't know. Cam probably wasn't that cheap, but Cam killed him. Yep. I doubt Kirk Cousins was all that expensive. So like it's like one thing when you can play a cheaper guy in a great matchup, but like if you are making the decision to not play the really expensive ones who have been just like so ridiculously consistent this year for a guy who's been incredibly inconsistent,
yep,
but is in the matchup. And so, and you're not saving like that much money. I think Goff will certainly be somewhat popular because everyone who plays the Seahawks is, but
yep,
I'm not sure he's like actually that great of a play.
I actually like two guys in his same price range as much as him too, which makes it even tougher for me. But let's jump back up to the top. We've got Kyler Murray against Buffalo, 8,000 on DraftKings. Aaron Rodgers, you mentioned earlier when we were talking about Aaron Jones, 7,900. Russell Wilson, 7,700 against the Rams in that high-scoring game. And then, I'll stop there. I guess you got Josh Allen, too, in that Arizona-Buffalo game at 7,500. If you're picking at the top here, do you have a strong preference between these four?
Why is Allen not, like, firmly in the group?
Just because he's Josh Allen.
Because he's Josh Allen.
And he was like kind of bad for 3 or 4 weeks until he faced Seattle, and obviously he went off again. But yeah, if you want to play this game and at Arizona, a lot of points, I get it. I like the three guys more than him, both as a player and a play this week. But yeah, I wouldn't begrudge anybody from going back to Josh Allen in a high scoring game. I just think the other three are better plays to me. But and Allen's priced up enough at 7,500 that you don't get much savings from the other three.
So we have no interest. We didn't once mention either Zach Moss or Devin Singletary. Like, we want no part of the Buffalo running game.
I think it's just too hard. I mean, they're just so split that it's just too hard to trust them. But yeah, I mean, a high scoring game, if you wanted to hit on one of them, sure. I just, for me, it's too tough.
I wasn't even going there with it. I was saying, like, even if you were able to roster like Buffalo Bills running backs in one spot, you're still not doing it.
Right.
And so,
because Josh Allen runs all the damn touchdowns in.
Right. So now we have Josh Allen as the quarterback of the team with the second highest implied team total on the entire slate. And we're not putting him in the upper tier?
I'm not putting him in the upper tier. But yeah, that makes it good. That's a really good point. And I think maybe I get stuck a little bit on fantasy points versus like I think the other three are better players. But yeah, that doesn't really matter when we're setting a DFS lineup. Allen, 4-15 and 3 last week, a touchdown rushing. This is a really good game script, game flow, all that kind of stuff. I just think the other three guys that mentioned, Wilson, Rodgers, and Kyler, you're getting a little more consistency from and a little more the upside is definitely there with Allen with the other three. I think like consistency floor is a little bit better with the other three guys as well.
I say all of that about Josh Allen, and there's no way I play him over Murray. Right. Or Aaron Rodgers.
And I get it. And it's a good point, though, because it does. Like I said, I think sometimes we automatically don't put him with those guys. And fantasy-wise, in a high-scoring game, he probably is there. Kyler was insane last week.
Yeah.
283 and 3. He was 21 for 26. Hit the deep ball to Christian Kirk. 106 yards rushing. I mean, when you put that in a quarterback, it's like Lamar Jackson from last year. And that's why we kept playing Lamar Jackson last year every single week. He has at least one rushing touchdown every game but one this year from a quarterback. Is a crazy stat. He's over 40 DraftKings points the last 2 weeks. Like the ceiling is, I think it's fair to say his ceiling is as high as anybody in the leagues. Buffalo defense is a little bit different than he's played the last couple weeks. It's a pretty good defense. They did have allowed 390 yards to Russell Wilson last week, but a lot of that was late garbage time. They forced four turnovers. Murray has multiple touchdown passes in three straight games. Obviously, it's big because you want those rushing stats. But if you're going to throw the passing stats, it becomes like Lamar last year. Great game flow. The over-under is 56, wherever he said it was. I find it hard to get away from Kyler any week. Same with this week. But do you like him, Jones, or Wilson? I mean, talking to these three guys, where do you go?
Aaron Rodgers.
All right.
I went Rodgers before I went to Allen, at least.
Okay.
Which I'm not sure is right. Like, I think Wilson is actually the worst of the group. Just like from a matchup perspective, he's facing the toughest defense.
The Rams are, and that game's high scoring, but a lot of that's because Seattle's defense is bad. The Rams defense is very good.
Right. And so, I just look at that, like if I can pay 200 more for Rodgers or 300 more for Murray on DraftKings, like I'll just do that. Like,
and the crazy thing on FanDuel, Wilson's more expensive than
yeah.
So, I mean, he's Rodgers $500 less, and I think that's a pretty easy swap, too, for $500 less.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously getting very different quarterbacks when you look at, like, Murray and Rodgers. And Allen is kind of in between. Like, Rodgers doesn't really run. Murray obviously runs a ton. And Allen's kind of this in-between where, like, he can run. He obviously scores plenty of touchdowns by himself. But, like, the rushing totals are usually not – I mean, they're certainly not as high as Murray, although nobody's are. So I just think if you're in that top group, it's just really tough to not just take Murray. But if you do, I think Rodgers is next.
Yeah, I mean, with Rodgers, I think the only concern is game script. If they do get up in that game, maybe they kind of pull back a little bit in the second half. But, I mean, last 3 weeks, 4-3-4 touchdowns, been really good. He killed the Niners last week. It's funny.
They just throw so much from in close that, like, it's just...
Yeah. Well, that's because they literally try to get Devontae Adams touchdowns in the two. It's wild. Yeah. Like, we could just run this in, or we just, you know, quick play here, boom, we're good.
Yeah.
It's funny when we talk about defenses. They're playing Jacksonville. We talk about defenses like, oh, this team has like 7 sacks the last 2 weeks, or this team looks good there. Jacksonville's 8 sacks this season. Like, they do not touch the quarterback ever. You get Rodgers with protection, no pressure. I mean, he can score as many points as he wants to in the game. It's strictly going to be a game script thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
But you think the first 3 quarters, he's going to just kill them, I would think. It's just a matter if the touchdowns come from him or Aaron Jones. And, you know, as you're setting your lineup, I think it really comes down to if you want to play, you mentioned what we talked about, Jones, if you want to play the Green Bay rushing attack or the passing attack, you probably got to pick one or the other, because I don't think you want to play all of them. They're all expensive. It's hard to play. You don't want to play Rodgers, Jones, and Adams, I don't think. But you got to probably have to pick one side of it, and I think both sides have pretty good arguments.
Yep, I think that's fair. It's really – so, like, those – top four guys are all so close salary wise. Like, you do get a bit of a break. I mean, you mentioned Goff. So, like, if you don't want to pay down for another running back in cash, or you're not paying up, or you want to pay up for a little more for a wide receiver or two, you do have to drop down to that Goff range. And because he's Jared Goff, do you play Deshaun Watson over him?
Like, it's crazy that Watson's in this price range. Like, why is he under 7,000? Like, again, like, my only concern with – so Watson's been awesome. Really good last 4 games, multiple touchdowns in 6 straight games. He's been 280-plus passing yards in 5 straight games. And Will Fuller's healthy. Brandon Cooks is healthy. They're using them both really well. I don't know if they're getting rid of Bill O'Brien, opened up the passing game, or whatever it was. They've been really good. Cleveland's allowed some big passing games. I love Deshaun Watson this price. My only concern is you look at the weather – and you've got 25-mile-an-hour winds. And we saw in 2 weeks ago against the Raiders, like, it actually made a difference in that game. You could see that the Daniel Carlson kick is the meme that, like, went dead left after he kicked it. But, I mean, it mattered. I mean, you saw the Raiders ran the ball 31 times to Jacobs in that game. And you just – it does make a difference if it's windy. Like, that's the only weather thing that I'm really worried about. So, with Watson, for me, it's going to be a Sunday morning, like, check that weather, depending on how high I move him up this range. I do really like – I mean, at $400 more than Goff, it's so hard for me not to go to the significantly better player, even though the matchup is obviously much different than it is against Seattle. Like, I wish we had Deshaun Watson against Seattle for the price. I'd be in on that.
Deshaun Watson against Seattle should be 9,000.
Yeah, for sure. In the Goff range, though, I've got two other guys here I like, too. I like Justin Herbert, again, 6,600. At Miami, I mean, Herbert has 15 touchdowns the last 5 games, over 260 yards in each one. Kyler obviously went nuts against Miami last week, so we know that it can be done with some passing against them. Miami's allowed over 350 yards. It's not quite Seattle, but they do have 3 quarterbacks that have gone over 350, obviously a pretty big number there. I mean, I think that Herbert, with Goff and Watson there, goes kind of quiet again. I mean, he's obviously – everybody loves him. He's a popular rookie, but – I mean, I don't think ownership will be high on him at 1,600 this week, and I think he's a really nice play also.
Totally agree. I mean, like, everyone we mentioned, I want to play over Goff. Like, I just don't want
that's,
to play
that's
Goff.
That's the problem, right? But then I look at Seattle, I'm like, geez, they're so bad.
Yeah.
And last week I did this with Allen. I'm like, oh, I just like these other guys more. And then Allen, I look up and had, whatever it was, 200 yards, 2 touches in the first quarter. I'm like, geez, I'm behind the 8 ball already. And where it's like 10:40, like, I just finished my hot chocolate. Like, what is going on? This is crazy. The other guy in this range that I think is very playable, and I don't think anybody will have him, is actually Drew Brees. The 49ers pass defense is already so beat up, and they lost K'Wan Williams this week, who's probably their best corner, and Sherman's not playing. Sherman's the best corner, but without Sherman, K'Wan Williams, he's a slot corner. He might be the best slot corner in the NFL, to be honest. Richard Sherman's not going to play again. Chikorsky Tart, who's their starting safety, is now out for the season, too. Like, as much as this defense is banged up, like this, every week they get two more starters that get hurt. It's crazy. They have gotten absolutely killed by the pass. I mean, Aaron Rodgers killed them last week. They're more banged up than usual. He had four touchdowns last week against Tampa Bay. Only 222 yards, but they kind of pulled off the reins early. My only concern on this, I guess, would be how much they throw. But I think Drew Brees, in a really good matchup at home with Michael Thomas healthy, is going to be very, very low percent this week. I don't think – and with Goff right next to him, with Herbert right there, with Watson, you know, 500 more, I think nobody's going to have Brees. And I think in the dome against this Niners defense, I think he's a really interesting GPP play especially.
That's not who I was expecting you to say, which
– you're expecting your boy, weren't you?
What's that?
You're expecting your boy Tom Brady, weren't you?
Yeah, my boy. That's exactly what I thought you were going to say. I love that Brees call. That's fun.
I really like a Brees Michael Thomas stack this week. That I think it's like the lowest percent ownership it will be ever. I think we'll get to receivers, but the 49ers cannot stop good receivers right now. Davante Adams and DK Metcalf have absolutely mashed them the last 2 weeks. They just don't have a player out there that can stop a big time receiver right now. It's just they don't have it on the roster.
Yeah, that's fun, Scott. I like that one. I don't have anything to add to it other than that.
I'm not gonna. I usually play three lineups. One of them will be a Brees Thomas stat.
Yeah, not that you have to like run it back, but there's really nobody to run it back with.
There isn't. We'll talk about it when we do receivers. Maybe you could play Brandon Ayuk coming back, but you don't want to play any of the running backs. You could go Richie James, who had a big game, but with Ayuk back, probably not there. I mean, Richie James had 184 yards last
game. That's
right.
That's right.
Out of freaking nowhere, by the way. Like, it's funny because we were talking showdown that night when they played the Packers, and we were like, do you go Richie James or Trent Taylor? Like, that's the level we're talking about. And, like, just two players, you're like, who are these guys? Richie James is a punt returner, and Trent Taylor had one catch, and Richie James had 9 for 184. It was just, like, amazing. What a little tweet can do.
Yeah, I sent you a message on Sunday that my favorite thing was, like, watching Red Zone, and they were, like, fantasy leaders, and, like, Richie James is at the top of all of them.
And nobody could pass him the whole day. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Brady. Brady's 6,300 DraftKings at Carolina this week. He was horrendous last week. Like, he was legit terrible. 22 for 38, no touchdowns, three picks. Tom Brady right now is really bad if you get any pressure on him. And I don't mean, like,
he's always
bad for Tom. I don't mean bad for Tom Brady. I mean bad for the NFL. He's a bad quarterback when he gets pressure. When he does not pick you apart, fine, hit everybody. He's got great weapons. Antonio Brown is there now. Looked healthy. Didn't look great, but looked healthy last week. Got a good tight end. He had 217 yards and a touchdown against Carolina the first game, the second time they've been playing. Carolina's been rough the last three games for his quarterback. They were pretty good early, but Mahomes had a big game against them last week. Matt Ryan had 281. Brees had 287 the week before that. I can see the path to Tom Brady this week. A lot of projection systems we talked about earlier have him throwing for a lot of yards, have him like leading the league in yards this week. For me, I would do it over Brees, Goff, or Herbert, so I'm not going to have Brady in any lineups just because there's three guys in the exact same range I prefer.
Yeah, I just – I sent that to you. Like, literally multiple projection places have Brady as the projected for the highest. And obviously, they're all close, and it's only a median projection, so it's not like it's a – prediction of the future, but it's just very strange to see that in this matchup with like the number of guys in other games that could really go off. Like, I don't get it. There's no way I'm playing Tom Brady. So like everybody else, like if you're for GPPs, like he's a great play because he's got great receivers that you can stack. They have good receivers on the other side of that game to come back with. I'm not going to join you.
They ran the ball five times last week. I think it was an NFL
record. That game
record.
Was just, like, you should just throw that game out. Like, for any, like, projection
system. You should. Like, that game was insane. They were so embarrassingly bad in that game. But five carries. Like, that's – how do you not, like, down 31-0? How do you not just run the ball a few times and run at the damn clock? Like, what are you doing? Like, how do you have five carries?
I mean, like, he threw 38 passes, which was actually less than he threw in each of the past – the two previous games. So it's not even, like –
they just never – when you go three and out every time, they just never have the ball.
They were just – they just got absolutely punked. It was great.
That was a weird game. That was I did not expect. After they lost the first game to New Orleans, I did not think they were getting blown out the second game.
Yeah.
That was some games I predict well. Raiders Chargers last week. I had the over. I put that on the pod, but I was way off on that game. I thought it was gonna be a good game. I thought Tampa Bay's gonna win that game, and I was way off. That was weird. Is there anybody else cheaper at quarterback you want to play? I think that, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, 6,100, good matchup. I don't trust that off the COVID and off the knee injury more than that last week. Like, he was limping around pretty badly the second half last week. I think if they get up in this game, it'd be smart to go to Mason Rudolph and give Ben some time. But I'm a little worried about how banged up he is that maybe he don't get a full game. And then Carson Wentz is under 6,000 at the Giants. Had a really good game against them the first time, 359, two touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. I just think if I get down here, I just probably go to this other group of guys in the mid-sixes we talked about. I don't think I need the salary as much as I normally do. We talked about Davis, some of their cheaper running backs. I don't think I'm getting down anywhere here.
Why haven't you mentioned your boy Derek Carr?
Because he's just too many times. Like, he's been really good. I think that with the other guys in this range, I think I would just go up to Breeze, Herbert, and Goff instead of Carr. But I wouldn't begrudge him playing Carr. We should go without mentioning Drew Lock last week. We talked about him on the podcast. Turned out to be the best play at quarterback for the price. It took a lot of fourth quarter magic to get there, but you know, stats at the end of the game is all that matters. Props to you. You actually played Drew Lock as your cash game quarterback, and it worked well. Obviously, the him and Judy combo together was huge. Won some GPPs too. There were a lot of lineups I saw that were high up in GPPs that had Lock Judy too. So happy to say we did talk about Lock a lot last week. But there's it's just a week this week that I think there's so many good quarterback plays. If you want to go up a little bit or the mid range, that I'm not touching the down range this week.
Yeah, Derek Carr 47 pass attempts in the last two games, not last week, just two games. So I think that's the fear.
And Lock, I give him a pass. One of the games was the Cleveland win game, but right. They're just, I mean, they hit some big play. They hit the big play to Aguilar last week, but they're just other quarterbacks I like more this week.
Yeah. For full disclosure, I spent three quarters of that Denver game texting you about how bad Drew Lock is. And I just completely was ignoring the fact that they were playing like the worst fourth quarter team in the history of the NFL. And so like, of course he was going to come back and play. And then all of a sudden I sent you the nice little never a doubt text because like, yep. How could I ever doubt Drew Lock? But yeah, this week, I'm not sure.
That's back-to-back weeks where he went nuts in the fourth quarter. It was terrible the first three quarters.
So but, bad.
I mean, the Falcons are just, you know, they're very special in the fourth quarter. It's something we'd never see. But that was fun because it was, it looked like you were dead. And then all of a sudden you literally had the best quarterback play on the slate.
Yeah. And I had Judy too.
For the so price.
It was great.
Speaking of Judy, let's jump into wide receivers. But first, a note from our sponsor, BetMGM. Football's in full swing, and new customers at BetMGM Sports can win the season with a 100% deposit match up to $500. Simply sign up and make a deposit with the bonus code ROTOWIRE to take advantage of this offer. There's never been a better time to get in on the action at BetMGM with parlay bonus payouts, live betting, daily boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Don't let one more minute of the NFL season pass you by. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and use the bonus code ROTOWIRE. Double your betting bankroll with a 100% deposit match. I can talk up to $500. You must be 21 years or older or physically located in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER New Jersey and West Virginia or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. So wide receiver this week, we talked about Green Bay a little bit. Highest price by far at $9,000 on DraftKings, $9,500 on FanDuel is Devontae Adams. Just going off right now. He is 10 for 173 in touchdown against the Niners. They had no chance to stop him. Targets the last 4 weeks, 10, 16, 12, and 12. Six touchdowns the last 4 weeks. We talked earlier when they get to the two, like they just pretty much run an out to him and it's a touchdown every time. I guess how much they throw is the issue here. You know, what will they do in the second half? We talked with Rodgers. People are doing well against Jacksonville. Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks had 183 and two touchdowns last week. Jalen Guyton and Keenan Allen big the week before. I guess it depends how you build your lineup. Like, you kind of have to go in building around Adams. But how do you feel about him at 9,000 this week?
It's funny because that price is pretty crazy for what we've seen this year. But it was also the pretty standard Mike Thomas price last year.
Was.
And we happily paid it most often. So you can have a concern that the Packers only throw 20 times, but if they throw 20 times, like 18 could go to Adams. So like, it's
funny. Rodgers was mentioned last week. They're like, you know, how do you feel about the game? He's like, I like throwing to 17 was his answer.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he drops back and Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a couple big plays, but He's throwing the ball to Adams a ton, no matter what's going on up there.
And it seems like when they're in close, they like look at the defense and they're like, okay, here are nine guys who are trying to stop Aaron Jones. and there's right. one guy over there trying to stop Davante Adams. And they're like, maybe we should just throw it to the one guy yeah. And it works every time.
They had that fourth down play too, where it was like mm-hmm. they could have done anything, and they forced in this little pass to Adams, and it worked.
It works every time, yeah.
Rodgers is so crazy accurate. Adams is so crazy good that, yeah, I mean, I think you want a little bit of – for this to really work at 9,000, you need Jacksonville to score a little bit. Like, you need them to be at least throwing for three quarters, three and a half quarters. So you want a little bit of a comeback on Jacksonville. But if Jacksonville could score a little bit, it's hard to get away from Adams. I mean, the targets are just massive.
I don't think you need that much time. Like, didn't he break 100 and a touchdown before, by halftime last week?
I just think if you're paying 9,000, you're hoping that you get four quarters, but you're right, you may not need it. A couple big plays, you may not need it, but would be the only like concern in this game is that Green Bay does shut it down in midway through the third quarter, and they're up 27-3, and he's got 60 yards and a touchdown, and maybe they kind of just stop doing it at that point.
That's fair.
And 9,000 is a big tag. You need a big game for that to work.
I agree with you, and there are some guys who are cheaper who are probably projected for one, maybe two fewer targets. Like, there are some very high targeted receivers on this slate who are much cheaper than Adams because everyone's cheaper than Adams. But
and like 1,500 to 2,000 cheaper than Adams. It's not like it's $400 or $600. Everybody drops down in the 7,000s below Adams.
Correct. However, 13,000 for Adams and Mike Davis is pretty cheap. And so there's a wide receiver we'll get to in a little bit who I think is going to be really popular, who's very cheap. Like, I think there are some very clear, cheap guys that will make it much easier to pay up for Adams that a $9,000 price is not going to like push enough people away. Like, you're not going to be like, oh, I'll pay up for Adams because nobody else is. Like, I think there's still a very clear path where plenty of people are playing Davante Adams.
And that's a really good point. I mean, 9,000 is very different based on who everybody else is on the slate. And then with some cheap plays, that is a good point. So let's jump down under 8,000. We've got a slew of guys here that I think people are very playable. We've got DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, DK Metcalf, Michael Thomas, and Keenan Allen between 7,100 to 7,700. In that range, everybody likes all these guys. But who are you thinking about playing more than the others in this range?
I think normally we'd really like Thomas, but for how much, he's banged up and that more pushes us to Kamara anyway. I don't think there's any reason to play Kamara and Thomas. I guess you pay up for Jones, then I think people who play Jones will go to one of these guys because they're not going to want to play Jones and Adams. So there's people that way. Keenan Allen was like one of the first guys in my lineup just because if you like Davante Adams' targets,
they will not push his price up anymore. It's right. 7,100. Like you talk about Adams. I mean, targets are insane with Allen too.
It's just like 13, 12, and 11 in the last three games, and he's had games with 19 targets in the game earlier this season. Like, yeah. There's just not any reason to think they're not going to get him the ball. And obviously he's got a quarterback that we know likes to throw it, can throw it, and I think. There's just no questions with Keenan Allen that makes him certainly easier to play than Thomas, who's banged up. Metcalf, you always have Metcalf is playing probably the best defense. Theoretically, you'll see plenty of Jalen Ramsey. And then you're left with the guys in the same game, DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs, both of who could also get 10 to 15 targets. Diggs's are a little more valuable, but I mean, like I said, if you don't want to play Adams, there are plenty of guys you can play target-wise. I just think Keenan Allen stands out above the others.
Yeah, I like Allen a lot again this weekend. He's the cheapest of this group, too, at 7,100, yeah. So that matters, too. I mean, double-digit targets the last six full games he's played. We mentioned he had that one game where he left early, still scored a touchdown in that game. But, I mean, the thing that also helps him here against Miami is that he plays a lot out of the slot. Miami's strength is their two boundary cornerbacks, and if you can avoid those guys a little bit, I mean, Christian Kirk had 5 for 123 last week. Cooper Kupp had 110 yards, 11 catches the week before. So you've seen that kind of the shifty slot guy against Miami works better than the outside guy. So, I mean, I think Allen works really well at 7,100. I like Michael Thomas, but I need to see some injury report. I know he's partially practicing on Thursday. I just think the 49ers can't stop any good receivers right now. I get that he's not quite the same, deep guy that Adams and Metcalf are, but I still think he's going to do really, really well this week. And I don't think the Niners can stop him at all. Metcalf is wild. Like we were last week about Tre'Davious White, and he went 7 for 108 and a touchdown. He has under 92 yards once all year, and that was the game that Tyler Lockett had 400 yards receiving, and they just didn't they didn't go to him against Arizona. Jalen Ramsey, you mentioned, he doesn't shadow, but should see a bunch of them. But yeah, I mean, there's one wide receiver has 100 yards. Cole Beasley had 100 exactly on the Rams all year. I just think matchup wise, it gets really tough. But DK Metcalf, I'm not going to pretend that he can't eat against anybody.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be that popular because of the other guys, but I'm one of those people who will probably not play him because of the matchup and the other guys.
Hopkins is weird last week. 3 targets. In a game that Kyler had almost 300 yards passing, he had 30 yards. He has 7-plus targets in every game, so maybe just kind of a fluky situation where it just didn't work. We talked about Tre'Davious White with DK Metcalf last week. DeAndre Hopkins should see a lot of him, but DK Metcalf did fine against him last week, and we always concern about caution about don't not play a guy just because of the cornerback, because a lot of stuff happens in the offense, and these receivers are really good too. And then Diggs, 8-plus targets last 5 weeks, double digits in 2 of those. He has over 90 yards in 4 of his last 6 games in a game that's should be a lot of points, score a lot back and forth. Josh Allen, it's hard to really pair him with a receiver because they spread it around and he scores the rushing touchdowns. But it's very clear. Stephon Diggs has as many catches this year as he did all of last year, which is crazy to me what Minnesota was doing last year with him. But I think all these guys are really playable. I probably go Allen and Thomas the highest, but they're all studs. Like I wouldn't fight you against using any of them.
Would you like Diggs more if Allen wasn't his quarterback? Like he had the same stats, but it wasn't Josh Allen.
Probably because you just get that inside the 20 Josh Allen running where you'd like him to throw a 15-yard touchdown to Stephon Diggs. But Allen's focusing on him, which I do like. I mean, it's very clear that he kind of has Diggs throw the ball a bunch and then spreads it around everybody else. He gets Gabriel Davis and Cole Beasley and some guys out of the backfield, some Singletary. But I think I like the fact that Diggs is very focused as their wide receiver one. I mean, he's really, really good too. If I'm gonna play a Murray stack in a lineup, I'm coming back with Diggs for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
he's the only guy in that offense who could really come back, and you're guaranteed he's gonna see the ball a bunch.
Right. Right. Yeah. The next group has some nice guys in it.
It does. We dropped below 7,000. I want to get to the Rams guys, but the first guy I want to talk about is Tyler Lockett. I was wrong on him last week. Wilson had 390 yards. Lockett did nothing. Lockett's really good, but 4 of the last 5 games have not been good. Like he had the 15 for 203 game that we were both on, so that worked really well. But the other five in the last 5 weeks, those other 4 games have been really quiet. Like just not a ton of targets, a few catches, 40, 50 yards. Metcalf has obviously been much more consistent. But Tyler Lockett's $1,100 cheaper than Metcalf last week at $6,500. In a game, we expect a lot of points. We expect Jalen Ramsey to probably do a lot of DK Metcalf coverage. Do you go back to Tyler Lockett? Are you a little worried about the recent performance? What do you do with Lockett?
Somebody made a comment earlier this week basically saying that Lockett should never be a cash game consideration, which sounds nuts because, we've seen him put up huge games and we just think of him as right. a short yardage guy who gets a bunch of targets. But his targets really aren't nearly consistent enough to be priced with these other guys. And so just the more you look into it, you're just overall his targets are there. But when you have 20 in a single game, that's obviously going to push you up. And he just has too many right. games with 5 to 8 targets, which when you're in this price range, you need more than that. I mean, those are targets too. They're not just receptions, although he does pretty much catch everything.
He does catch everything.
But when you look at this price range, we've got the Rams guys, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. Kupp's a little banged up, it seems like. I think everyone should play Woods if Kupp doesn't play against that Seattle defense. Although we'll talk about Josh Reynolds in a little bit.
We shall.
But there's... As crazy as it sounds, from a consistency standpoint, you should play Terry McLaurin over Tyler Lockett every week.
That is a statement I never thought we'd be saying. right. It'd be the opposite, right? McLaurin's got the ceiling and upside, but McLaurin has, 7 catches each of the last 3 weeks. He gets a ton of targets. They just focus on him no matter what.
Every quarterback, too. They've had 17 quarterbacks this year.
I love Tyler Lockett. And last week, it was frustrating. He got tackled the one. Yeah. And he had another deep ball that just went off his fingertips in the end zone. So it could have been a way different story. I do think Tyler Lockett's still at least a GPP play at $6,500. I think that in that offense, in this game, you're going to want a piece of that. But you're right. In a cash game setup, like McLaurin is just more consistent, which I never thought we'd be saying out loud.
It's wild. I mean, Keenan Allen, like Allen is closer to this price range of these guys that we're talking about than he is like the elite group of like Metcalf and Hopkins and Diggs, which just feels so crazy to me. But yeah, Lockett's just like not there for me. And like Fuller isn't really either. Like the salary difference between Fuller and Brandon Cooks is wild for how much they are actually used.
I don't know what Brandon Cooks has to do to get priced up. I mean, he got moved up $100. Like he just, it's three straight games where he's clearly been very involved in the offense and just kind of stays in the mid fives. And
yeah,
Will Fuller scored in six straight games, but like it's hard to play him $1,000 more over Cooks when it just, they're both really very involved every week.
Yeah. I mean, Fuller has to score. Like you're not getting enough if he doesn't score. And so in that game particularly, like you're saying, there's some weather concerns. Like if you're going to play a guy in a weather concerned game, don't pay $6,700 for him.
Right.
So yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy I avoid in that group because like Kupp and Woods are just so much, at least game script wise, should be so much better.
So we've got the Rams guys. You mentioned Kupp. I think he's a little bit of an oblique injury. Sean McVay said he's expecting him to play. So I think he's going to play, but it's, you know, a little bit of a tweak there. He had 21 targets the last game they played. It was that weird game against Miami where they threw the ball 55 times, 60, times. Whatever it was. Like, yeah, 1,000 times. They got down pretty quickly because of the defensive and special teams touchdowns. But Woods is a little bit cheaper. Woods is 6,600, 7 for 85 in the touchdown last week on 8 targets against Miami. Seattle has allowed 280 yards per game just to wide receivers. Which is like most times you're like, they didn't allow 280 yards passing. Like that's a lot every game consistently. 280 yards, two wide receivers. It's just impossible to me. Wood just scored three of his last 4 weeks. He has 8 rushes the last 3 weeks too, which you like to, you know, like to see. They run that like jet sweep play at the 3 yard line, which you'd love to see. Jonnu Smith scored on that last night. Speaking of it, your boy Jonnu. We talked last week how it seemed impossible, but 12 wide receivers had over 80 yards, 80 yard games against Seattle. Two more last week, so that's up to 14 now. It's hard to make a lineup without playing one of these guys at least.
Or yeah, agreed.
I mean, it seems you could play both, but it's hard for me to get through this slate without playing one of the Rams receivers. You've got three guys. We're talking about Josh Reynolds a little bit, but Woods and Kupp are obviously going to get a lot of targets. Worst defense imaginable against wide receivers. It's hard to not play one of these guys in the 6,000s.
Yes. So we might as well just talk about Reynolds because we're talking about these guys. Like 17 targets in his last two games.
And 3,500.
He's 3,500. I guess I buried the lead there. Yeah. He has a touchdown in two of his last three games, and he's playing Seattle. And so $3,500 Josh Reynolds, $4,000 Mike Davis. Now you see why Davante Adams at 9,000 doesn't feel so crazy.
And I think Reynolds, the key stat you mentioned is the targets. Like 17 targets the last two games at 3,500 to get a piece of this game and the passing offense. Like he makes a ton of sense down there. And I think he's a little bit boom or bust, but at 3,500, like, I don't even think you really, like, as long as you get a piece of this game, he's played 50 snaps in three straight games, which I think is really important for a guy who's a third wide receiver. Like, you don't want him just to get some action. You want him to be out there all the time. And if he's out there all the time, they're playing three wide receivers a ton. They're going to have to score in this game. Seattle, the Rams defense is good, but Seattle's going to score points. Like, the Rams are going to have to score. 3,500 for Reynolds. When I clicked on him, I'm like, I wonder if he's like 4,500 this week. Like, I wonder if it's going to be tough to play, but 3,500 makes him
really interesting. He's got more targets than Woods over the last two games. Yeah. Woods, I think, has two more touches just because of these running plays that they're giving him. And he's 3,500. And he's like, not that they throw like really far downfield, but he runs deeper routes than Kupp and Woods. Yes. And so he is getting the targets, but even if he didn't, if he's playing those longer plays, then, I mean, we've seen Seattle give up plenty of long plays as well. So like,
do you think Reynolds is popular this week?
Yes.
I think so. You think everybody's going to focus on him?
I think, I mean, every week we try to find who that like cheap wide receiver is. And I think there are other playable ones. There are other playable ones that are like cheap.
Yeah. I've got a couple guys down there that I want to talk about. We'll get there.
But like none of them have Reynolds' targets. None of them have his opponent. And so like, it just,
do you think he's like 20%? 25%? Like, well, if you had to guess in like say the Millie Maker or something like that, what would be your guess? Like a big GPP?
Yeah. I think it could be like 20 to 25 only because like this is also a game that we're expecting to have a lot of points in. Like, you can play, if you want to play Russ and Metcalf and run it back with Reynolds, run it back with Reynolds and Cook, Cup or Woods, like, go not. Like, there are plenty of guys you can play in this game, because this game could have 65 points in, because every game with Seattle plays it has 60 points in.
Yeah, I think the thing with Reynolds is he works if you want a game sack this game. It also works if you just want a piece of this game and game sack something else and you want to come back and a piece of that. I think you're probably right. I think the people are going to, as the week goes on, I think there will be a lot of people talking about Reynolds at 3,500.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at some projections that we have from the UF Collective ones that we have on RotoWire. Like, just in terms of, like, the actual ownership percentages, I tend not to necessarily look at, but it's more just the order. And they've got Adams, Hopkins, Diggs, Kupp, Metcalf, Woods, Lockett, and Reynolds. So there's like three guys from the Rams in the top 10. But yeah, 3,500, how much do you even really need?
Yeah, the one I was looking at had him pretty low, but I think it's I think he's definitely going to move up there. But there's a couple of guys I want to talk about when we get down there. But in this $6,000 range, we kind of hit most of the guys. I like Travis Fulgham a lot, but not in this game. I think it's 6,400. I think there's just other guys in this range I like more. Alshon Jeffrey's finally back. But the thing with Fulgham is he's like priced up. Where he's in the 5,000s, I think I'd probably go back to him. You know, a lot of targets the last 4 weeks, really involved, has scored 4 or 5 weeks. But I think it's tough there. What about the Carolina guys? Robbie Anderson is 6,100 there against Tampa Bay, who's a good defense, but you got to think that they're going to have to throw the ball in the second half. And, you know, we think that Tampa Bay's going to score a little bit this week as opposed to last week. Targets last week on Anderson are 8, 8, and 13. He hasn't topped 80 yards the last 4 weeks after those big weeks early on. Only one touchdown all year is weird. Like, they're just, the way they're using him is strange. Like, he's the possession guy. DK Moore, or we talked about Moore, 5,100 this week for DJ Moore. 5,100 is cheap when you consider that, you know, how much they could have thrown second half. Do you play either of the Carolina guys?
Why wouldn't you just pay 4,900 for Curtis Samuel?
I play Moore over Samuel this week just because I'm stubborn as hell. See, self-awareness and admitting your faults is a very important thing in life, and I can fully admit it. I think DJ Moore's upside is way more than, I keep wanting to call him DK Moore. I don't know. DJ Moore's upside is just so much more, I think, than Samuel. I get that Samuel has scored and has the carries and had a lot of targets last week. I think if they're that close in price, I got to take the DJ Moore upside. And everybody hates DJ Moore right now. He's still on pace for like a top 10 receiving in the NFL. Like, it's still a lot there. Just been quiet the last couple of weeks. There's no way I pay the same price for Curtis Samuel.
Do you pay the 4,900 for Samuel over the, what did we say Anderson was? 6,100?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. All right. So you're not completely off, Sam. Like,
I'm not completely off. I just think if you get someone that I think is way more talented in the same game at the same price, I'm going to go DJ Moore.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, they should be throwing, like, you know.
They should.
Game-wise.
I actually think DJ Moore at 5,100 is a pretty good play this week. I think that he's at a price where, for the talent, he's underpriced. I get it hasn't worked so far this year, and I know that I love DJ Moore, and it's a little bit irrational, but I think at 5,100, he's at a price where, like, yeah, it's way too talented for that price.
What do you do on the other side of that game? Just stay away from Evans and Godwin?
I am not touching Evans, Godwin, or Antonio Brown. I think they spread it around. I think trying to guess on that, especially a third guy in there, like, if it's just Evans or Godwin, I think, you know, you can guess between the two and you kind of make some points. But I think with a third guy in the mix, and Gronk there too.
I was just about to say that. Gronk is there too.
Gronk still had 6 targets last week, even though he had 1 catch, dropped a touchdown. I don't think I want to try and guess which Buccaneer receiver is going to play well.
I agree.
Some other guys quick in the 5,000s. I actually think it's going to be nobody will have this guy, but I think Jarvis Landry's interesting this week. 5,900, no Odell Beckham. His first game without Beckham was that windy game. 11 targets. He only had 4 for 52, but he actually dropped a touchdown, dropped another pass. They're playing Houston, who gives up a lot to kind of everything. You know, Devontae Adams was big against them. DJ Chark had a big game last week, 7 for 146. I think Landry is a DraftKings guy because of the PPR, but I think he's an interesting floor guy. I think his floor is much better than most guys in this range.
I think that's a good read.
And I think nobody will have him because you've got – we talked about the guys right above him. We talked about Robbie Anderson. I think Brandon Cooks at 5,600 you talked about earlier. I don't think everybody's gonna be like, oh, I want Jarvis Landry this week. Like, that's really sexy. That's not going to happen at all. So I think Landry is actually a pretty good play at 5,900.
Watson, Cooks, Landry?
Yeah, like if you want to get a stack in a game that people aren't going to be stacking, I think that becomes really interesting pretty quickly. And you obviously got to check the weather on Sunday morning. And you know, if it's blowing like it was 2 weeks ago, then we'll probably just stay away totally. But I think Landry is a price where I think he's really interesting without Beckham.
Where do you fall with the number one receiver on a 7-point favorite who had 10 targets last week and is only 5,200?
If you're talking about my boy Deontay?
Yes.
Deontay Johnson, like, it's interesting. When I wrote this up, I was like, I just put Pittsburgh receivers in one group here because they're you know, they're kind of all the same. It's weird to me that he's so much cheaper than the other guys still. Like, I get Juju's been really good the last 3 weeks and finally getting more involved, but why is Deontay $600 less than Claypool? Like, it just, for the targets involved, I get that Claypool was targeted last week heavily, but Deontay Johnson is, you know, he's played 5 full games. Yeah, he had, the injury concern is obviously really seems to get hurt a lot. He played 5 full games. He has double-digit targets in 4 of those. Like, that's in an offense that, you know, we'd like them to throw the ball a bunch, and they should be able to beat Cincinnati pretty well. Like, we just, you know, worry second half, maybe they shut it down and go with Mason Rudolph. But if I'm going to play a Pittsburgh receiver, you know, Juju 61, Claypool's 58, Deontay 52, I'm just going to play the cheapest guy that I think, you know, probably gets the most targets each game.
Yeah, I think I can't decide if Johnson continues to be underpriced or if Juju continues to be overpriced. Like, it just seems like a difference.
I mean, Juju has been good recently. Like, we made fun of him earlier for the price, but been good. But he's kind of like the possession guy now, which is weird. And Deontay's the big play guy. And if I'm a player wide receiver, I think I can want the big play guy.
Yeah, I actually, like, I wonder if, like, if they were, like, if it was Juju, Claypool, and Johnson, and they were like 6,000, 59, 58. I think you still play Johnson, right?
I do.
Yeah, like
I do. Just I think the big plays are, I think the talent's there, and Claypool I think is a little more inconsistent. Like he's really really good some weeks, and then some weeks he gets one target, and you're just like, eh. But you know, if Claypool was 4,800, like yeah, that would be a really interesting play. But 5,800, if I can get Deontay at 5,200, I think he's definitely my favorite play of the Pittsburgh wide receivers. I don't know if I'm going to fully go there this week because I don't love Ben this week, but. 5,200 for a guy in a good offense, like you said, that's cheaper than the other two guys. I think he's a pretty good play this week.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there are a lot of guys in this range. Like,
there are.
I think Mike Williams is a really interesting option. Like, he's another one who should be, I think, more expensive than he is. And I feel like I don't even look at him compared to Allen. Like, I think Allen is underpriced as well. But, like, I think Mike Williams, 15 targets in the last 2 games, over 80 yards in both, like –
And when they take shots and they go to the end zone, it's Mike Williams.
Like, right.
It's just, I mean, Allen gets everything everywhere, but if you're going a deep ball or you got, you know, a 20-yard shot to the or fade to the end zone or whatever it may be, it's Mike Williams. And that's in a game where you love the quarterback, like that really works.
Yep. You've got Sterling Shepard here in a game the Giants should be throwing, 5,000. He's got 18 targets in the last 2 games.
I got a guy the same price as Shepard. What do you do with Devontae Parker? 5,000. Preston Williams is now out, so Parker is the number one. 7 targets last week, and is, you know, this the second game with Tua, so maybe get a little more acclimated to each other. He only had 6 catches the prior 3 weeks, but he was 6 for 64 last week. The talent is obviously there. He plays a ton of snaps, maybe gelling a little bit with Tua. The Chargers are about league average in points allowed to wide receiver ones. I think if you want a guy who's a wide receiver one, should get a lot of targets in the game, they're going to have to score a little bit. I think Parker at 5,000 is pretty playable.
Yeah, I'll like begrudgingly agree. Like
That's fair. And I think it seems like you like Shepard and Williams at the exact same price more.
And Johnson's only 200 more. Yeah, like two is the reason I don't love
That's fair.
Parker. I think Parker's like fine. Like I think he could definitely have a good game, but. Like, I might even play Curtis Samuel over him.
You love Curtis.
No offense to your boy, DJ Moore.
Two other guys in the mid-fives here. Jerry Jeudy off the big week last week. T. Higgins at 5,500, a game where Cincinnati's going to have to score. He has 22 targets last 3 weeks. Should have to throw a ton. 60-plus yards last 5 games. I think both those guys are pretty playable, too. I think that it's hard. There's a lot of guys. Like you mentioned, there's a lot of guys in this range who are kind of like really good plays that I really like. And it's going to be hard to figure out, you know, how to parse through them and which ones I want to actually play.
Yeah. And we mentioned Brandon Cooks earlier, but he's in this group as well.
Right there too, yeah.
There's, like we said, there's a lot there. And even going slightly below, like Manny Sanders, in that game against your Niners, who can't stop anybody.
And their slot corner's out, so like that opens it wide up for Sanders.
I mean, particularly if Thomas doesn't play, although I'm guessing he does. But I think that's a tough group because, like, I think Cooks, like, if that game was in Houston, I think that Cooks is like above all of them. Right. Any sort of weather concerns, it's like if you play Cooks, or, like, if you want to play Cooks, you got a ton of guys you can just easily pivot to.
41 targets last 4 weeks. Like they've changed a bunch. They are targeting him and 9+ every week. It's not like he has a 21 in there like the Cooper Kupp stat we had earlier, but he has a touchdown in 3 of his last 4 games. He has 60 yards in all 4 of those games, so he's doing something with it. He only moved up $100. It seems like for someone that talent getting that number of targets, it's crazy. His salary is not like 6,200, 6,300.
Yeah. Yep. It just looks underpriced. And then
range is gonna be tough. There's a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm. And then just GPP wise, like, I think you can play Jalen Reagor against the Giants for how bad they've been. That's more of a, he only needs a few catches to do it. The same applies to Henry Ruggs. Like, those guys are just like big plays waiting to happen.
I like Reagor more than Ruggs.
Okay, that's fair. And your boy Richie James, of course.
Richie James, 4,000. Ayuk is back, but a good game script. They're going to be trailing the Saints. I think they're going to throw it a little bit. And, someone doesn't go 9-1-8-4 and they just don't throw the ball to him the week after. Like, he's going to see. And Deebo Samuel's probably not going to play. He's like a long shot. Kendrick Bourne is somehow back on the COVID list, so I don't think he's going to play either. So he got a lot of that too. But it's definitely interesting down there. What about under 4,000? We've talked about Josh Reynolds. Anybody else under 4,000 that you like?
Every week I try to convince myself that Danny Amendola like might be an option, and I'm like, oh, he's cheap. And if Galladay doesn't play, actually, we didn't even trying to see here, is questionable at least. Has he practiced yet? Not yet. All right. So
yeah, I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah. So, I mean, Amendola is like as boring as they come.
Very.
And you're pretty much playing him for his like five catches for 50 yards, which, like, you know, 10 points on DraftKings for 3,900 is fine, but it's not winning you a whole lot. But I don't know. I'm mostly outside of this range just because everyone I look to, I'm like, wait, why am I not just playing Josh Reynolds? And so.
So the two guys I want to mention here, we got my boy KJ Hamler, 3,800 again, 10 targets last week.
Yeah.
He's a talented guy. He ran like a mid 4.3 40. He didn't run at the combine because he was hurt, but he had like a mid 4.3 40. But playing a ton in the slot, he played 50 snaps last week in a team that's throwing a lot.
I get it. I mean, they threw a lot last week because they were losing. I just don't necessarily trust the Raiders to like get up that big on Denver. But
yeah, that's fair. I think that he's a talented guy under 4,000 that can make some plays. But the other guy under here I want to talk about is dead min price, 3,000. Is Jakeem Grant with Miami. Preston Williams is out. Jakeem Grant, after Williams left, played 29 snaps, had 5 targets last week. He's another guy that is really fast, talented. There's a Dolphins beat writer that mentioned that he's definitely the guy who's going to get a bigger role. I think with a lot of people playing Reynolds, I think Jakeem Grant is someone that can see a lot of targets, maybe 6-7 targets, something like that, at min price that I think would be more popular and more higher owned if Reynolds is not on the slate. So I think that Grant's really interesting at 3,000.
I think that's a great call. If he's not like the fastest guy in the NFL, he's like one of the fastest. I think he was a sprinter in college. I see here at the combine, or maybe this was his pro day, he ran a 4.3 4.40, which is slightly faster than me. but yeah, I think he's like exciting. Like, anytime he has the ball, you're just like, oh, this could go. And so...
I know that Tua is a little bit concerned, but I think the Chargers are going to score in this game. There's a chance that Miami's going to have to throw the ball a little bit more than they maybe they want to. And, they don't have Myles Gaskin, so maybe they've got to rely on the passing game a little more. I think Grant at 3,000 is very live.
Yeah, that's fun. I think they could even give him a few carries, not like more like jet sweeps than actually running out of the backfield. But like, he's one of those players that you want the ball in his hands because he's so fast that you're just like, anything can happen when he touches it.
Agree. And you get that at min price now starting. Yeah. Like, I like that a lot. It's hard to do it over Reynolds just because Reynolds is in a game that, the best matchup of all time and a high scoring game. You laugh, but like, Seattle's historically bad right now. I don't know. I think Grant's really fun at 3,000 also.
Yeah, I agree.
Jumping into tight end real quick, we've got we have no George Kittle, we have no Travis Kelce on the slate this week, so there's only two guys over 5,000, no one over 6,000. Darren Waller's 5,900 on DraftKings, TJ Hawkinson's 5,100. Waller's the only guy over 6,000 on FanDuel. What are you doing at tight end this week? I found it really difficult to find guys this week that I really, really liked. Usually there's a couple guys I like. I do have three guys bolded here, but I want to know what you're thinking of tight end, because I'm not really finding a lot to like here.
You play the guy who has 20 targets in the last two games.
Evan Engram?
Yeah.
He's one of my bolded guys, so yeah, and he had a nice touchdown catch last week, and you said 20 targets the last 2 weeks, but he's got 29 targets the last 3 weeks, too.
Oh, there we go. It's
pretty clear that they are trying to get him more heavily involved. We kind of laughed about him last week, but played him last week, 5 for 48 on 10 targets and a touchdown. It worked.
Yeah, they should be thrown in this game. We talked about Shepard like briefly, but like yep. Slayton wasn't really a consideration. And Golden Tate was a healthy scratch last week. I think they are now, what did they say? Minor knee injury.
I think they're kind of over Golden Tate.
I think so too.
As a human, kind of over Golden Tate.
Yeah. At the moment. Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, Engram for the price, you're just looking at like, I think Waller is always going to be the best play on this slate. Like, I think if you're looking like for most fantasy points that you're likely to get, it's Waller. But at 5,900, it just seems like kind of, I don't want to say it's a waste. I mean, we keep talking about all like the ridiculous values on this slate. I just don't think it's ever a point where you're like, oh, I'm going to save all of this money so I can pay up a tight end if it's somebody other than Kelce and Kittle. I don't know if it's worth it.
And Waller gets a lot of targets. He's just not a huge ceiling guy. Like right. he has 50 yards total the last couple weeks, but he scored three of the last 4 weeks. I like Engram. The guy in here that I like is actually in that same game. I like Dallas Goedert this week at 4,200. Did not see a ton of action his first game back. He only had one target. Did play 53 snaps, though. But the Giants have a lot of trouble with tight ends. Richard Rodgers had 85 yards in the same matchup against them in Week 7 when both Ertz and Goddard were out. Goddard, before the injury, had 17 targets the first two games. There's no Zach Ertz. I think that this is a game where maybe Goddard, after last week of the one target, last game, I should say, they were on a bye last week, but last game had one target, finally maybe getting fully healthy with the bye. I think Goddard's a guy that can slide through it at 4,200. He's probably – it's him and Engram are probably my two favorite, at least in this mid-range.
Yeah, that price on Goddard is weird almost. Like, he was more expensive than Ertz before he got
hurt.
Yeah,
I remember that. Right, that's right.
Yeah, I think he definitely sticks out as being underpriced. Like, wasn't he? See if I can click in here quickly. Yeah, he was like 5,000 at one point.
I think there was a week. I think you're right. I think there was a week he was more than Ertz when Ertz was healthy. I just think that the one target and then the buy, I think he's kind of out of sight, out of mind right now. And at 4,200, I think he has an actual real upside at tight end, which you're not going to get with many guys in this range. Like, he's the same price essentially as Hunter Henry, who literally has zero upside, even with a quarterback that throws the ball a ton and gets a lot of targets. But he has last 4 weeks, he has 23, 23, 33, and 33 yards. Like, it's gotten to the point where finally even I'm off Hunter Henry, so hard to score this week. But I think Goddard's my favorite play overall at tight end this week, maybe even a little bit more over Engram.
Wow. Okay. Where do you stand with Noah Fant now that Albert O's out?
Yeah, I love Fant last week, and he had that 30-yard play, and like, oh, here we go, and then
here we go.
His ankle play, and you're like, oh my gosh, he did come back in. 4,900 is just a little bit more expensive, but you joke about Albert O, but like, that's a red zone threat that they do take away. Like, they were using him in that area. Only three targets last week. He had 16 the prior 2 weeks. I think he's a guy that can definitely blow up. He's super talented and athletic, but I don't know how the ankle is after the tweak last week. He did practice fully on Thursday. I like him this week. I just think I like Engram and Goddard a little bit more, and they're a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, I think you can go like a lot of paths. Like, the Bengals have given up 6 tight end touchdowns in the last 4 games. And Eric Ebron's only 4,400. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's obviously, let's aggressively call him the fourth option in terms of the passing game.
Right.
But I think like you could play him. I think like a lot of these guys are, I feel like they were much more expensive the past few weeks. Like, it feels like the whole group of like Ebron, Goddard, Gesicki, Henry like were like 4,800 and now they're 44 and chain and below. Like I think there are just plenty you can play. Austin Hooper doesn't look that bad if the weather plays out. Like he's got 16 targets, 23 yep. in the last three games, 16 in the last two.
Yeah, and as long as he's healthy, like prior to the appendectomy, we were playing him and he was like really nicely priced yeah. and finally getting targets. And Clay, they made a clear change in an offense to figure out how to use him a little bit. I think he's really good price. I just worry a little bit coming off the appendectomy if he's fully healthy and then the weather, like you mentioned. But 3,900, I'd probably just go up $300 to Goddard. But I think that if you need to like save a couple hundred bucks, I think that Hooper's the guy under 4,000 that I'd play.
He stands out significantly more as only $100 more than Ross Dwelly, who, in fairness, I've played before with much success, but I don't know how you.
And the problem with Dwelly is like Jordan Reed still is there, and I think that he's gonna, like he only had 13 snaps last week, but you got to figure he's probably getting more.
Did he have 12 catches because that's what he did against the Jets?
They need the weapons badly. They're going to be trailing in this game. He's 3,500. I just I don't trust him to get through four quarters more than anything. I don't trust him to play enough snaps. But like I think in the red zone he will be used. And I'm going to have to use him because he might be their second best receiver, to be honest.
It's there.
How did we get here from January in the Super Bowl with like more talented good players than any team to talking about Jordan Reed and like some of the starters there on defense? What a just disastrous year for the Niners.
You would have like predicted like a horrific COVID outbreak too, like
and
they've had that too, but that wasn't the problem.
But yeah, I didn't think we'd get Nick Mullins to Richie James as the combo 6 months ago. We were up 10 in the Super Bowl with 9 minutes left.
Right.
Oh, the memories. Defense, real quick. There's a couple defenses down here I do like under 4,000 on DraftKings, but Pittsburgh is 4,400, and they're probably if you look at projections, they're probably the top defense. They've been bad the last couple weeks, but still 6 turnovers and 6 sacks. They're playing against Cincy. But who do you like cheaper on defenses?
New Orleans, I don't think is bad. 3,000 against. Sorry, your 49ers.
I would go stronger than I don't think is bad. I think they're a fantastic play at 3,000.
Yeah, it's another thing that it just seems like the bottom tier appears much faster than it has been. 3,000 seems like a pretty solid. Like I feel like 3,000 is usually where I'm like, let me pick a cheap one, and 3,000 is what the 6th most expensive on this slate on DraftKings.
Nick Mullins with any sort of pressure is kind of like my dog when the front door opens. Like you just have no clue what's going to happen. It's pure panic mode. Like when there's nobody there, you're like, this guy looks like an NFL quarterback. And then like one guy rushes him and he literally just like, oh my God, get rid of the ball. Like it's insane. He had to play against the Eagles. They lost that game because the pick six. Like he's so bad with any kind of pressure. And the Saints had 8 sacks last 2 weeks. They smoked Tom Brady last week, picked him 3 times, pressured him a bunch. They're a home favorite. Mullins gonna be throwing the ball a lot. I think Mullins will probably throw up some stats, but I think Mullins is gonna make a couple of mistakes. I'd be shocked if we didn't get some turnovers. I think a pick six is very in play. He seems like a really good guy. He's probably a pretty good backup quarterback, but he is an absolute disaster when anything is around him in the pocket. He full on goes into panic mode, and that's exactly what you want from a fantasy defense.
I'm sold.
3,000, almost every lineup, it's gonna be New Orleans for me.
Oof, that's gotta hurt, Scott.
It hurts badly. It hurts badly. Like it sucks because last year the New Orleans Niners game was probably the best game of the NFL regular season. Like it was back and forth, and Kittle had that long play right at the end. Yeah. I think it was like 38-35 or whatever it turned out to be. I think that was the score, but it was like probably the best game. And now it's just like where we are now. It's bad. But I love their defense. If I want to switch it up a little bit, I really like Philly this week too. They're a little bit more expensive at 3,600. They have 10 sacks last 3 games. The Giants have allowed 11 sacks last 3 games. Anytime you get the combo of really good rushing the quarterback, guys who can't cover the quarterback, you love that. Daniel Jones loves to turn it over. If I don't go to the Saints lineups, I'm probably paying up a little bit to Philly instead.
That's fair. what do you think about a defense with 10 sacks in the last 2 games, multiple turnovers in... oh my gosh, every game but 2, and they're 2,300.
I had Detroit listed at 2,400, but I don't actually know who you're talking about there.
Seattle, the worst defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
But we've got Jared Goff. They had 7 sacks last week against Josh Allen. Like I said, multiple turnovers in every game except last week and week 2 against New England. For a punt?
Goff goes a little panic mode with pressure, too. So I don't think that that's crazy. As long as points allowed is not an important stat, or yards allowed. But, yeah, turnovers and sacks could work. I would I'd probably play Detroit instead of 2,400 against Washington. Washington's turned over 5 times last week. Alex Smith is sadly not very good. I like Alex Smith, and his comeback story has been great. But forces the ball a lot and had some really bad turnovers last week. Like, the last couple interceptions against the Giants were really bad. I don't love Detroit either, but I'd probably go Detroit at the same price over Seattle. But I'd probably find the $600 and just play the Saints.
No, they're 300. The Seahawks are 300 less than the Lions.
Oh, they're 2,100?
Lions are 26.
Oh, I had the Lions at 24. So, yeah, okay. So,
yeah, Lions 26. Same
range. Yeah. In that range, like, you know, kind of play, you kind of hope you can play anyway. Yeah. Who cares at that point? I think I'd find the $700 and go to the Saints, though, because I just think that I think they're really cheap at 3,000, and I think that they're primed for a really good defensive game.
I mean, on this slate, with the guys that we have talked about, Davis, Reynolds, I think you're going to be able to find that salary.
Like, yeah, I think
it's going to be all that difficult.
Jakeem Grant, 3,000.
Grant, yeah.
Yeah. So, cool. Anybody else that you want to mention? Anything else on your mind?
No, I think we hit everyone.
Beautiful. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. We always appreciate that. Again, if you could please rate or review the podcast, leave some stars for us. That'd be really appreciated, too. If you want to follow Andrew on Twitter, he's at RotoWireAndrew. I am at Scott Jenstad. Jenstad is J-E-N-S-T-A-D. Other than that, hope everybody has a fantastic week 10. Good luck with all your lineups. We're back at you next week, next Friday, with week 11. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Take care.